Turn with me, if you will, this morning to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. For the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at Jesus' parents as we look at the Christ child. The first week, we started with Joseph's family tree, which we determined by the end of that sermon that if we are in Christ, that family tree is part of our family tree as well. And like most families' trees, it's full of misfits, it's full of difficult people, it's full of out-and-out just plain old sinners. But it's our tree. And the good news that we saw when we looked at the list in Matthew chapter 1 was the fact that God's rich grace in sending Christ to save people like those or like us. Then the past 2 weeks, we've looked at Mary. We've looked at a very encouraging, very godly, and a very intelligent young woman. And we also have looked at her faith. A couple of the phrases that stand out to me are, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." But then last week, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He is mighty. His name is holy. His mercy is for those who fear him." So we've seen how the faith that God, that Christ is bringing has even affected at his birth and before his birth. So on this Sunday, we're back to Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. And we'll see that he is a servant of the Lord as well, especially as we look at his name, the name of the Son of Jesus, his naming, his our Savior. So read with me Matthew 1, 18 through 25. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Father, as we look again at this extremely familiar story, we pray that your Spirit would open our hearts and our minds to the understanding, to the immense grace that is revealed through this towards us, your elect children. Father, we are grateful for that, and we pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see Joseph once again on the second half of Matthew's first chapter, if you will. Now, it doesn't tell us a lot about how Joseph was feeling at this time. I always find that interesting. The Bible doesn't deal with feelings very often. Paul shed some of his anxiety. Sometimes we read about the confusion in David, but we don't really have a lot that speaks about feelings, because feelings always have a tendency to get us into trouble. But you can imagine, just a moment, that Joseph probably was extremely frustrated, maybe angry, maybe even feeling betrayed the moment he found out that Mary was pregnant. The Bible doesn't tell us any of that, but we can imagine that to be true. After all, they were betrothed to be married. A betrothal was different than engagement today. Now, there was a time in our culture where engagement was kind of a binding contract, at least it was an understood binding contract. In this case, it truly was. The only way you could get out of a betrothal in the Jewish faith at that particular time in history was you had to sue for a very public and usually very messy divorces, because there was monies involved and there was properties and all this kind of stuff. Betrothal was the first step in the marriage covenant, even though the couple didn't live together. So to find out Mary was pregnant must have devastated Joseph. Yet, as I said, the text doesn't tell us that. What we do know about Joseph is that he was a just man, a righteous man, a godly man. All the different, if you had the Amplified Bible in front of you, you'd have all of these different qualifiers. A man of integrity, just like his relative Boaz, Ruth's husband. For he didn't act out irrationally when he finds all this out. He seeks to respond in a way that brings glory to God. He plans to divorce Mary quietly so that she wouldn't have to endure too much shame. But thankfully, that was not to be. For the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and told him that what has happened is from the Lord. But the angel's core message deals specifically with Jesus' name. And we see three things dealt with in this chapter concerning Jesus' name. First, his name was unexpected. Then we see that his name was comforting. And then we see that his name defines his purpose. So the first thing we see here is that Jesus' name was unexpected. Look with me to verse 20. But as he considered these things, as Joseph considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And here we see a lot of similarities in this between the Matthew passage and the Luke passage. First of all, Mary had already known the name to be Jesus. Back in Luke chapter 1, we read, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Very similar to the passage we have here for us. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And then in Luke 2:21, at Jesus' circumcision, Joseph does in fact publicly name him Jesus. So we see all this coming together in exactly the way God said to. But it's at that public naming of Jesus, that's what's unexpected. Now, many of us have heard that one of the most popular names at that time was the name Joseph. Yeshua, which becomes Jesus in the English. And so we have this feeling and understanding that everybody was naming their child Joshua in hopes that they would be the Messiah. And that was true according to Kent, the census, the Jewish census of the time. Joshua was a very popular name prior to Jesus' birth, and he was a very popular name after his birth. But there's something else going on here, and that is it was unexpected because do you see the name Joshua or Jesus in the list in the first 17 verses of Joseph's family name? What was expected and what was conventional was that you would name somebody after one of your male relatives if it was a male child, like Boaz or like even Judah even or David. That was expected. That was the conventional wisdom of the time. So Joseph stepped outside of that to name Jesus. And it wasn't that he was reflecting or revealing a rebellious spirit. What we see of Joseph is something we all should be able to imitate. We see a man who is acting in obedience to the commands of God in his life, not acting in accordance with the expectations and the conventions of his day. That's something we ought to imitate as well. Living by God's standards is a whole lot more important than living by the standards or the expectations of the world around us. The naming of the baby was the father's job to do once he was, especially in the case of a son, because of after the circumcision, that was his job. Now, there's a few things that come out from that. The naming of the baby, as commanded by the angel, let everybody know that this was his legal heir and son. That was something that was not expected either, because of his young age and the fact that this was, as far as the society is concerned, an adulterous byproduct. That was just not something that was done. Young men did not adopt someone else's baby, especially in a situation like this. But in naming him, he has said publicly, "This is my son." Now, I was adopted by my father, Frank Leroy Singenstrew. Now, I'd already had my name, or I probably would have gotten saddled with Leroy. But naming is crucial when you are naming your child. We think about how in our culture we name and base our names sometimes on people in our families. Our Zachary was named Zachary Ryan Otto Singenstrew because of Leslie's Uncle Harry, which we didn't want to use Harry, but Harry Otto Specht was very important to her. And so we have the same kind of expectations even in our own culture. And so it's interesting to see how this all plays together. Unexpected. These were unexpected things. While the world thought that this child was tainted, Joseph knew better. For that which is conceived within her is from the Holy Spirit. So Joseph acted in obedience, and he acted as a father would act. But Jesus' name is also comforting. Look back with me at verse 20. And as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Then all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. So from the very beginning of this, there's comforting language. But think about this. Comforting. He's a young man, had planned to be married. He finds out that his fiance, if you will, is pregnant. So he's unmarried, and he's going to be a father for the first time. Now, I know that's not an abnormal thing in our culture, but for those of us who remember having children, being a father for the first time is scary enough. But then when you put all the little details, like, oh, I don't know, this is the Son of God in there, and you're sitting to say to yourself as a young man, I am going to be the father of him as the Son of God. But he's my son as well. All the different things that would be going through a first-time father's mind, and then to add on the fact that this is his Savior and his Lord. No wonder the angel needed to begin this whole conversation with "do not fear," which would cause him to be comforted. Do not fear, just like he said to Mary. Do not fear, just like he'll say to the shepherds. And if you've read Isaiah recently, you'll see that he says that a lot in there as well. Do not fear. For all of this is overwhelming. As we saw a couple weeks ago, grace by its nature is meant to be overwhelming. Because we're caused and taught and continued to be taught that it changes us from the very beginning. For it's not at that moment, it's at that moment that we begin to realize with a changed heart that life will never be the same again. It's sort of like being a first-time father and picking up that baby for the very first time. It hits you square in the face that life will never be the same again. Now, that's not a bad thing, but it's a scary thing at the moment. And Joseph was dealing with all of that as well. Now, for those mothers out there, you're saying, yeah, but what was Mary dealing with? Well, we talked about her a couple weeks ago. So we're talking about Joseph today. But the great thing is that no other name under heaven takes away fear like Jesus. No other name under heaven comforts like the name of Jesus. No other name under heaven, because Jesus is the beginning of hope and the end of despair. I was reminded as I was writing this a couple weeks ago of that first line from what seems to be one of Troy's favorite hymns, "O 4,000 Tongues We Sing." We sing it a lot during the year. Jesus, the name that calms our fears, that bids our sorrow cease, 'tis music to the sinner's ear, 'tis life, health, and peace. Jesus brings comfort. There is no fear for tomorrow because we have Jesus today. There is no fear of next year, of 2026, because we have Jesus in 2025. His name comforts us. His name supports us and strengthens us. This is good news of a great joy that a baby has been born in the city of Bethlehem, and his name is Christ the Lord. Jesus, God with us. Which brings us to the last point this morning. Jesus' name defines his purpose. Look with me in verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, his purpose is linked up with his name, and his name was unexpected and comforting. All of that is linked together. As I said before, Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua means the Lord saves. Actually, I didn't say that before. The kids said it during the play and other times. It's really great to hear that from the children. The Lord saves. And which defines his purpose. You shall call his name Jesus because, or for, as the ESV says, he will save his people from their sins. That is a foundational text that brings the Christmas story and God's redemptive purposes together. The child given is truly born, truly named, and truly sent on the mission of rescue of his people. Every day, every detail of his birth and his name and his mission proves that God keeps his promises. You know, in this life, promises fall through the cracks a lot between us. But God always keeps his promise. It's always trustworthy in that. He kept his promise for those with whom Jesus came. All his elect from around the world. And of course, this purpose had to be laid out long ago. That's why Matthew includes the passage from Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. But Jesus also understood his purpose. We hear him in the early chapters of the Gospel of John. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So whoever believes in him is not condemned. And then later, Jesus says these words that we know all well. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus understood his mission. For it was a mission that was planned to be carried out before the foundations of the earth. Jesus understood his mission. It's why he came and for whom he came, to save his people from every nation, tongue, and tribe. And we see in this text at least two foundational dimensions of his coming. of his purpose. First, the angel said he will save his people from their sins. So the simple truth is that one of the foundational purposes for this is that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. The second one is found in the Isaiah passage. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God's with us. So he comes to save us from our sins, but he comes also to save us for a relationship with him and with God, from our sins for a relationship. These are crucial elements and foundational to our understanding of salvation. Jesus' name means that he came for us and he came to bring us with him, to save us, making a perfect sacrifice that would satisfy God's justice. Making that perfect sacrifice, that is, he obeyed, he bled, he died, he rose again from the grave. He paid the penalty for our sin so that we might be cleansed by his blood. He saved us from our sins, and he saved us for a relationship with the Father. Jesus is our Emmanuel, God with us. He was with us in the incarnation. He is with us as he dwelt with us in time and space, and he will be with us in the new heavens and the new earth. So Jesus' name is unexpected. His name is comforting, and his name defines his purpose to save us from our sins and to save us for a relationship in the here and the now, as well as in the world to come at his second coming. So the question is we often run into this question throughout Scripture, is who do we say that he is? What does the name Jesus mean to you? Those are the questions we need to ask this time of year and all year round, because these are the only questions that matter. Do we understand his purpose? Are we comforted by the name Jesus? Do we recognize that grace is unexpected? Just like his name is unexpected. Are those things that move us? Are those things that motivate us in the world around us? Just like Mary gives us an example of true servanthood in the midst of hardship, we see Joseph as well. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Emmanuel. Joseph's obedience, Joseph's justness, Joseph's righteousness is an example for us. Joseph doesn't get a lot of play, because there's not a lot about him in the text or in the scriptures as a whole. But what we do know about him is an example for us today. Jesus is his son, but Jesus is Joseph and Mary's Savior, just like he is ours. My prayer is that Jesus is your Lord and Savior today. If you're unsure, if he's not, and you're a young person, please talk to your parents. If you're not sure, if he's not, if you're an adult, please talk to me or one of the elders. It's a great time to make sure, to be sure. Jesus' name is all-encompassing. The naming of our Savior reminds us of the grace and love of our God. So please, pray with me. Almighty God, we thank you so much for your word that continues to remind us of these truths. That Jesus came to save us from our sins. He came to save us for a relationship with you. He came as an answer to prophecy, as an answer to the commands of among the Godhead to do just that, to save his people. So Jesus was, when he came to glorify you. And how he did that was to save us from our sins and to save us for a relationship with you. So Father, we thank you for the simple truth. I pray that all here today would know this truth in the depth of their heart. And if they do not, that your Spirit would work in such a way that would cause them to seek you and that that grace would move in their life to change them so that they will never be the same again. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.